Welcome to another session of Spirit Life Training. I'm glad to be with you. Last session, we began to talk about the body and the importance of the body. In this session, we'll begin to break down the soul. If you had a chance to read any of the book, Spirit Life Training, you know, sometimes I like to read ahead. If you have, you'll see there are five aspects to the soul. And we're going to take our time and break down all aspects of the soul. When we understand how we are designed, how God designed us, then it's easier for us to realize where the enemy is trying to creep in. Remember, once again, the enemy does not have access to your spirit. Your spirit is already perfected. How I know that? Because we're made in the image of God. The Bible says God is a spirit. So we're made in the image of God. That means he made us just like he is. He's a spirit. So we have our spirit are made just like him. God formed the body and breathed life or his spirit in the man. And so our bodies were formed. And so our souls were, God gave us our souls. So, our souls or our minds was designed to cooperate with God, but our mind is under our authority. We'll get to the last one at the end of the semester, end of the year, is the will, which is very powerful. Tonight, we're going to deal with emotions. The five aspects of the soul are emotions or feelings, your intellect or reasoning, your memory, your imagination, and your will. And we're going to break all five down. Tonight, we're going to deal with emotions or feelings. This is the biggest part of your soul. This is the part of your soul that you have to watch the closest. Reason being is that your soul or your emotions is what kind of it gives you contact in the natural. You know, you got your feelings, you got physical feelings like, you know, you touch fire, you touch ice when you feel pain. But then you have psychological feelings where you have different reactions to different situations. And Satan knows that. And so Satan really aims at our emotions. Matter of fact, turn me to Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. Look at verse. Let's start at verse one. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Let's keep reading verse 6. And here's the part. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now let's think about this. What drove Adam and Eve to eat this? Eat the fruit. Which leads me to my first point about emotions. Your emotions fuel your actions. Your emotions fuel your actions. All right, let's break it down. We've heard this before, but let's do it again. Your environment is the breeding ground for your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings or your emotions. Your feelings or your emotion causes you to act, and your actions brings results. So let's apply that to this situation we just read. Eve's environment, Adam's environment, was the breeding ground for her thoughts. She had two competing thoughts, what God said, what Satan said. But the difference in what happened is when she began to look at the tree and it was pleasant to her eyes, that's an emotion. It was pleasant to her eyes. And she desired to have wisdom. Pleasant to her eyes and desired to have wisdom. Emotions. Driven. So it drove her to eat the fruit and give it to her husband. Now let's look at the other aspect from Adam. Adam's emotions caused him to ignore God's instructions. His emotions, connection to Eve caused him to override God's instruction. His emotional attachment to Eve caused him to override God's instructions. Your emotions fuel your actions. Now, I want you to understand that's the way God designed us. He designed us to operate that way. So what we have to do is we have to learn to govern our emotions and direct them in the right path, in the right, give it the right, give our actions the right energy. So you're not going to do anything unless you're driven to do it. You're not going to do everything you do, you're driven to do it. Even if you consider, I'm not going to talk about you. Even if you know somebody who's lazy, that don't want to do nothing, that is an emotion to do nothing. They're doing something, to you is nothing. To them is what they want to do. They're driven. You don't do anything without emotions. God is an emotional God. Jesus had emotions. Now, let me prove it to you. Let's look at God first. Look at Numbers 32 and 13. Take your time and find it. Numbers. Look it up. Numbers 32. 13. And the Lord's what? Anger was kindled against Israel. His anger. God got angry at Israel. Israel made God angry a bunch of times. Look at 2 Kings 13 and 3. 2 Kings 13 and 3. Because I want to see that, I want to show you that God has emotions. 2 Kings 13, 3. Praise God. 2 Kings 13, 3. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. We see it again. God has an emotion of anger. Now, I don't want to keep reading you about God. That's the only emotion that God had. No, God had more emotions than that. Go to Psalms 35. 27. You know, you should, if you've been around Apostle Thompson any moment, at any time, any length of time, you've heard this scripture before. Psalm 35, 27. Psalm 35, 27. It says, David's writing. David said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continue, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of others. He's happy when his servants prosper. That's God showing happiness. Go with me to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, and I think it's 5. Let's see, 20. Yeah, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Verse 5, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. So God is showing that he's jealous. Now, what does that mean? This is the same type of jealous that we may have? No, it is a righteous jealousy that says, I know what's best for you. I've created you. I don't want you going after other gods because they're not going to treat you like I'm going to treat you. And therefore, I will not allow you to put any other gods before me. So he has that emotion. Now watch this. Go to Zephaniah 3. Yeah, you got to look for Zephaniah. If you have to, do like I do. Go to the table of contents. Zephaniah is not a book we go to often, but it's a scripture I want you to see out of there. Zephaniah. I'm going to table of contents myself. Zephaniah is after Habakkuk. Is right after Habakkuk before Haggai. And my Bible is page 871. Oh, my goodness. So God has emotions. And if God has emotions and can properly use them, then we're made in his image. Then we can have emotions and properly use them. So Zephaniah, the third chapter, verse 17. Let's see what it says. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So you see that God has the emotions of joy over us. God so loved the world that he drove him to give his only begotten son. See, the emotion drove him. The emotion drove him to do something positive for us. I want to overshadow God's anger with his love. So I'm going to another one, Isaiah 62. Go to Isaiah 62. I want to show you God's emotions. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62 and verse 5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. God showing an emotion of happiness. Last one, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32 and 41. 32 and 41. I'll give you time to get there. 32 and 41. Let's see. Jeremiah 32 and 41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in the land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. That is, yeah, God is talking, yeah, I will rejoice over them. Talking about his children. Talking about his chosen generation, his chosen people. He will rejoice over them. So God has emotions. Let me show you Jesus. Jesus has emotions. Go to John the 11th chapter. John the 11th chapter. Shortest scripture in the Bible. You probably know this by heart. Any trivia people out there, any trivia lovers, the shortest verse in the Bible. Praise God. John the 11th chapter. John the 11th chapter and the 35th verse. The 35th verse says Jesus wept. Jesus had an emotion. Now let's look at this whole story and see the power when properly directed, the power of emotions. Verse 32, then when Mary was come down where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her, verse 33, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? Other words, Jesus took on the emotions of Mary and those that came with her. He felt the agony that they felt. And then what was his response? His response is, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept because he felt their agony. Now watch what, remember what I told you now, your environment is the breeding ground for your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings or your emotions. Your emotions cause you to act. And your actions brings results. Let's watch this. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. because Jesus did love Lazarus just like Mary did, just like those that were crying with Mary did. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Verse 38, and Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. Emotions is doing this. Emotion is causing Jesus to act. See, you must not only have God's voice or his instructions, you must have the emotions to match with it to make you do what God is asking you to do. This is why it's proper that we control our emotions. That's why it's proper that we channel our emotions. If we don't, how many times have you not challenged your emotions and it's gotten you in trouble? How many times you got angry when you should have held your peace? How many times were you tricked by somebody else's personality and you became attracted to them, or you became fond of them only to find out that they weren't who they say they were? Didn't get your emotions in check. Didn't keep your emotions in check. Jesus here is properly using his emotions. Are you ready? Was you still listening? You still with me? He said, watch what he said. He said, I knew that thou, because he prayed, verse 30, 41, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which standeth by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a loose napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. So Jesus was able to perform this miracle because he had instructions from God and he had the emotions to act. Praise God. Your emotions, God gave you your emotions to act on his word, not for you to act on your emotions. Come on now, hear that. You should never use your emotions to act on. You should always use your emotions to act on the word of God. So that's why we have to. Luke 21:19 is my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures of the Bible. I got Matthew 6:33 and Luke 21:19. Matter of fact, turn there, because I need you to see that. Turn there. We're going to come back to showing Jesus' emotions. Luke 21 and 19. Watch this. Luke 21:19. Jesus said, in your patience, Jesus talking, in your patience, possess ye your soul. In your patience, possess ye your soul. What that means? That means whenever something happens, whenever you got to make a decision, whenever something is sprung on you, don't respond immediately. Pause. Get your emotions in check. Give the Holy Spirit a chance to give you instructions. You know, people who get angry quick, it's hard for them to function. It's hard for them to think. Nothing wrong with being angry, because the Bible says, be ye angry and what? Sin not. It's okay to be angry, just don't do nothing. Many people are sitting in jail right now because they got angry and did something. They got angry and did something. They got offended and did something. Let that sink in. The Bible says, in your patience, possess your soul. Jesus was able to harness his emotions and use them as fuel to do what God had called him to do what God had asked him to do. It fueled him to perform this miracle. Let's look at another one. Look at Luke, the 10th. We're in Luke. Go to the 10th chapter. Go to the 10th chapter. Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 17. Luke 10, verse 17. Let's read it. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus is rejoicing with the disciples. He's saying, look, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Let's rejoice because your name is written in heaven. So Jesus is showing happiness, rejoicing, joy, elated that he got people that are hearing him and coming back and realizing we got power in your name. He's rejoicing about that. And let me show you another side of Jesus. Go to John, the 2nd chapter. Now, remember, Jesus, who knew no sin, because he knew sin, he could die on the cross for us. So he knew no sin. So the scripture I'm about to read to you may look like an erroneous behavior, but it was the properly channeled emotion to do what God wanted. John, the 2nd chapter. Watch this. John, the 2nd chapter. John, the 2nd chapter, verse 13. Look at verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover. The Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changes of the money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cards, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. What kind of emotion do you think Jesus is operating in? Anger, frustration. And then we can see why. He said in verse 16, and he said to them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. What was happening? Let's break this down. What drove Jews to get angry? It wasn't that they were selling in the Lord's house. It's that they were taking advantage of the people that were coming to buy these animals to make sacrifices. Remember now, Jesus had not died, so they were still burning sacrifices. So they were coming to make offerings. They was coming to make offerings and present these things as penance for their blood offerings, as their blood sacrifice. And these money changers were overcharging the people for these items because they knew the people were driven by their love for God to buy these items to present to God. So the money changers saw it as a profit opportunity, and they were overcharging. And it made Jesus angry, and Jesus walked in there, made a whip, and whipped them out of there. What kind of emotions do you think Jesus was operating in? And the next question is, was it the proper emotion? Third question is, did he do the right thing? Obviously, let's answer all three. Number one, he did the right thing because he knew no sin. Number two, he had the right emotions. And number one, he must have had instruction from God to get his house straight. See, when God gives you instructions, you must have the right emotions to match with it. If you do not, you won't accomplish the will of God. You will not accomplish the will of God. That's why God said to me, kept telling the children of Israel, keep telling us, fear not, fear not. Because the things that God sometimes asks us to do, fear is a thing that will come in and to grip us to not do it. So we have to have the right emotions to eradicate the fear. Jesus grew frustrated and angry, which overcame any other emotions that got to do what God had called him to do. You have that same ability to control your emotions. Next week when we get together, I'm going to tell you how to control your emotions. It's much easier than you think. It's way easier to think. When you see how simple it is to control your emotions, you're going to be able to control your emotions with yourself, with dealing with other people, with dealing with situations, even when something hits you. I never forget, I had my son, when he was about 4 years old, he started breathing differently. And we had to rush him to the hospital. And my wife, as a mother, concerned for her son, was panicking and trying to figure out what to do. I, on the other hand, we got to the hospital. The Lord spoke to me. Because when we got there, the emergency room doctor said, "Sir, look, touch and go. We don't know what's going to happen. It's touch and go. It don't look good." Well, what emotion should I have gotten from that? Fear. He said that to my wife. My wife dropped to the floor. Immediately the Lord through a word of knowledge said, "This is an emergency room doctor. All he sees is trauma and traumatic experiences. It's not that serious." I didn't know what that meant, but I held on to it. I grabbed my wife by the shoulders. I said, "Listen, the Lord just spoke to me and said, this is an emergency room doctor. All he sees is traumatic experiences and trauma experiences. That's all he knows. This is not that serious." About 2 hours later, we moved up to a room. We were sitting there. My wife is still on edge. I got God's word. She's not as edge as she was because we both got God's word. She trusts me. When God said, "God speaks to me," she trusts me because I don't play with that. I don't go to my wife and say, "God told me this to control." God, when God speaks to me, I tell her so she'll have trust that I can hear from God as the leader of my house. So when we got up to the second, to the room, I think it was on the second floor, a nurse walked in, looked at the chart, said, "Oh, this young fella's going to be good. It's just bronchitis. We're going to give him some breathing treatment. He's going to be all right." We went from a touch and go situation based on what man said, our environment, to breed thoughts, to cause us to feel a certain way, to have a certain action. To now, I got that word of knowledge from God, said it ain't that serious. We get upstairs and the nurse confirmed and said it's just bronchitis. We went from a doctor telling us it's touch and go to a nurse telling us this is just bronchitis. We give some breathing treatment and we're going to be on our way. Do you understand the power of your emotions? Now, Satan was trying to get me to get in fear and attract something worse. Man, my God. To attract something worse. But God, in his infinite wisdom, spoke to me. And I was able to match the emotion with the instructions to receive what God wanted us to receive. So I bless you. Next week, we'll talk about how to control your emotions. It's very simple, very easy. When you see how easy it is, you're going to be like, "Why did not I have this years ago?" Don't fret. You're going to have it to work with your future. I bless you. I look forward to being with you next week.